Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. Your favorite hour of the day is here. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports, coming to you live here on the campus of Michigan State University, as my man Chayo just noted, inside of Studio S. However you may be listening, whether it be on WKAR AM 870 or 105.1 FM, you may be tuned in right now at our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. However you may be tuned in, maybe the podcast version as well, at WKAR.org. Thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of your day. As you guys know, for those who have been tuned in throughout the Monday and Tuesday version of WKAR's Current Sports, it's the hump day version. Happy Wednesday, October 17th to you all. But as you know, throughout this week, we have been centering our show on, of course, the big game that will take place on Saturday at noon. Michigan State and Michigan going at it, the big in-state rivalry matchup we've had. Thank you, Ray. Appreciate that, Ray. Ray is becoming like a shout out to Jack Kerwin, man, for cutting up. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Jack, that's from yesterday's Ray call, right? Is that correct?
It is, yes.
Yes, thank you, Ray. Ray was pretty amped up. He's been amped up all week. Ray from Indiana, the notorious U of M hater that he is. And we'll probably hear from Ray throughout this entire week, today, tomorrow, and on Friday. And I want to hear from you guys as well. Come on now. Don't just let Ray dominate the airwaves. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. But that has been and will be the foundation of the show throughout the week. The big rivalry matchup, Mark D'Antonio versus Jim Harbaugh. And, you know, on today's Current Sports, I was getting a lot of messages. I have been getting a lot of messages throughout this week from you all who tuned in to last year's highly anticipated smack talk, a smackdown between former Michigan State football safety Otis Wiley and former University of Michigan linebacker Alan Gant. We actually had Alan and Otis on the show last year to just go at it and talk trash to one another. The segment was very popular. We got a lot of responses on it. It was posted, you know, on social media galore and shared multiple times. And many of you have been hitting me up saying, hey, Al, are Otis and Alan going to be back on the air to do it again? Because I called it an annual thing. I kind of put Otis and Alan on the spot last year, and they said, yeah, they'll be down to do it every single year. But for those that have been following the show, you know, we had Alan on, you know, right before the college football year. It was either right before or after week one. And Alan now is a member of the University of Michigan coaching staff. So, as you can imagine, that wouldn't be a good look if he was to come on Current Sports and just smack talk MSU for about 10 minutes or so, seeing as though he is now employed by Jim Harbaugh's program. All right, that wouldn't go over too well with Coach Harbaugh. So, unfortunately, we cannot have that segment this year. However, we'll go back in time and play to you that segment last year, which was really, really fun. And many of you want to hear it again. All right. And it got a little personal, as this rivalry does. And you'll hear some things from Otis, you know, if you're a Michigan fan, you will not like. And certainly, because Alan, I think, went for the jugular during this this smack off. You'll definitely hear some things come out of the mouth of Alan Gant you know, back again a year ago that you won't like if you're a Spartan fan. But it's all in fun. You don't want to miss that. Trust me. We'll also play to you just a little bit more of that Mark D'Antonio press conference. We played about like 5 minutes or so of it to close out yesterday's current sports. So we'll play a little bit of that today because I got a few takeaways. Again, we won't play like 12 minutes of it. Just want to give you guys, some more context as it pertains to what Mark D'Antonio had to say in preparation for this rivalry matchup. And I'm also going to answer the question whether or not U of M fans are changing their tone this year. Because I tell you what, I read a pretty cool article, which I'll unpack when we get to this topic. But I want to ask the question, especially to U of M fans out there. Are U of M fans finally starting to respect Michigan State fans? There's a reason why I bring this question up, okay? And again, it's because of this piece that was written. Again, so that's a tease for you all. We'll get to that question later on this hour. Again, if you would like to be a part of this hour, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News. Check out the live stream there and comment below that video. I will do my best to get to your comments throughout this hour. And you can tweet us as well. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports or tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR. But you know what's next? Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. I'm going to have some help with me. Adam Mackey will join me live in studio, as well as Trevor Truskowski. All right, so here we go. Oh, that's awesome stuff right there. Jack, what can you give us some context to that moment there?
Yeah, that was Larry Caper in overtime at Spartan Stadium about 10 years ago. Mark D'Antonio's second win against the Michigan Wolverines, his third season.
Awesome stuff. Awesome stuff. As, again, we've been going back in time and bringing to you some vintage moments throughout this week when it comes to Michigan and Michigan State on the gridiron. And we'll continue to do so throughout the week and on this show, all right?
2009 game.
And also, today marks the three-year, hard to believe it's been 3 years, the three-year anniversary of probably the biggest moment in this rivalry's history. All right, we'll play that for you.
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap.
Okay, here we go. We'll play it right now.
It's picked up by Michigan State's Jalen Watts Jackson, and he scores!
See, Jack, you were so excited. You just said, oh, let me just hit the button right now. I'm so excited, Al. But, yeah, it's the three-year anniversary of the Jalen Watts Jackson, the fumble with the snap, Sean McDonough, his voice cracking like he had just hit puberty. I love that call. I love that call. I love that moment. I was there on the field. Because it's a three-year anniversary of that moment, I'll kind of go back in time and tell you and recollect what happened on the field with me and my former engineer Isaac Constance as we were witnessing that moment in person. It was crazy. The craziest game I've ever covered in my life. All right. ESPN's Chris Lowe, he pegged Chase Winovich as one of the two starting defensive ends on Monday in their midseason All-American team. Quote, he's surrounded by talented players, Lowe writes. He also continues on and says, quote, but opposing coaches will tell you that Winovich is the guy who makes it all go for a defense that's playing at a championship level, end quote. Winovich leads the Big Ten in tackles for loss with 10.5. This is also tied for fifth nationally. So, again, another list, right? And this time a midseason All-American team by ESPN's Chris Lowe, which he has Chase Winovich on. All right, Adam Mackey, a pretty cool night coming for Michigan basketball.
Yes, sir. Adjust your phone to its front-facing camera. The Michigan men's basketball team will hold its fifth annual selfie night on Monday, October 29th at Chrysler Center. Fans can watch the Wolverines practice and afterwards take photos with the players. head coach John Beilein, and select women's players in the concourse. Admission is free. It is the first chance for the public to see the 2018-2019 Wolverines, who are coming off a 33-8 season, their men, in which they won the Big Ten tournament and reached the national championship game, where they lost to Villanova. The first game, an exhibition, is against Northwood on November 2nd.
Pretty cool stuff. Selfie night. That's pretty cool and fitting for 2018, right? All right, another big name has been caught up in the ongoing college basketball corruption trial. On a normal week, I would be leading with this story. I mean, it is huge, folks. But this time, it's Duke's incoming freshman, Zion Williamson, who is a basketball freak. I mean, I believe the dude could play in the NBA right now. Now, according to Dan Wetzel of Yahoo Sports, a taped conversation between former Adidas employee Merrill Code and Kansas assistant Curtis Townsend discussed what it would take to land Williamson before he committed to the Blue Devils. Quote, "Hey, but between me and you, he asked about some stuff," Code was heard saying. It goes on to read, quote, "I know what he's asking for. He's asking for opportunities from an occupational perspective. He's asking for cash in the pocket, and he's asking for housing for him and his family," end quote. That is just a taste of what has been going down in this college hoops corruption trial. Also, I was reading this morning that Brian Bowen, who was an MSU recruit, Brian decided to take his talents to Louisville. We all know why now, right? There were multiple schools out there willing to pay for the talents of Brian Bowen. But I read this morning that his father was encouraging Brian to go to Michigan State. His father said, hey, and again, I'm really paraphrasing here, but he basically had the tone of, look, go to Michigan State, do what Draymond Green did, and let's just keep it moving. But Brian Bowen wasn't feeling Michigan State. And I think the reason why he wasn't feeling Michigan State is because Michigan State refused to play the game and cough up money in order to acquire his talent. So, again, on a normal day, if it wasn't rivalry week, I'd be leading with this story. I may touch on it a bit later on this hour, but no guarantees. But I at some point this week, I want to get to this story because it's interesting and game-changing on so many different levels, all right? My Detroit Pistons open the regular season tonight. The Pistons will take on the Brooklyn Nets, 7 p.m., Little Caesars Arena. You can catch that game on Fox Sports Detroit. Last year, my Pistons, it was bad. 39-43, but the Nets were even worse. 28-54 for the Brooklyn Nets. So the projected starting lineup for the Pistons may look like this. Reggie Jackson, Reggie Bullock, Stanley Johnson, Blake Griffin, and Andre Drummond. So I will be glued to my television, much like Jack is watching his Detroit Red Wings, which have not started the season really, really good.
I've actually not watched a game start to finish all year.
Real? Well, because they're bad.
Exactly.
Because they're bad this year,
yeah,
right? I would be the same way. I'm diehard Pistons, but if they're losing, man, it's just like, look, I'm turning on Netflix. I've done that multiple times these past few years.
I got the score on my phone. That's all I need, really.
Exactly. Preach on, brother. All right, Adam, in a really cool moment last night as the NBA officially opened up, the Golden State Warriors actually played the Oklahoma City Thunder. And before that game, again, the Warriors are the defending NBA champions yet again. They got some rings that weren't your ordinary rings. Adam, explain.
No, sir. The Golden State Warriors celebrated ring night in style prior to the regular season opener against the Oklahoma City Thunder on Tuesday night, as Al just said. Top of the ring is reversible, actually. 74 sapphires on the blue side represent the number of wins, regular season and playoffs, by the Warriors last season. On the white side, 74 diamonds represents the win total. The Warriors' mantra, strength in numbers, is revealed when the ring's top is twisted off.
Would you want a ring, Adam, that twist off? That's kind of dangerous, isn't it? Honestly, especially with all those diamonds on it.
Yeah, because, I mean, what if you don't have it on correctly and it just pops off?
Exactly.
And it breaks?
That's what I'm worried about. Really cool ring, though.
Yeah.
I mean, really detailed, probably the sexiest ring I've ever seen a championship team get. And it was a cool moment to see the Warriors out there getting yet another championship ring. But, you know, I'm diehard NBA, but the casual sports fan, when you talk about NBA, it's like, why even watch the regular season? Because with the stacked squad the Warriors have, who really is going to knock them off? So we'll see. I'm hoping for some change this season, though. I'm hoping for some change. And Trevor, you can bash me right on the air right now because I totally messed up your last name, brother. Tozlowski. Gosh, and I screwed that up when we were throwing to our headliner, so apologies, brother.
It's all good,
okay,
man.
Goodness. It's Trevor Tozlowski with some news when it comes to the Detroit Red Wings.
Yeah, I'll take this one. This one's got a last name that might be a little tough for you, Al. So,
right. So, good jab. I like that.
Evgeny Svechnikov and the Detroit Red Wings just cannot catch a break. During the preseason play, he was sidelined with an undisclosed injury for an undisclosed amount of time. Both player and team have been silent on his status as the Red Wings started the season, despite Svechnikov being introduced as part of the team on opening night. Yesterday, it was announced that the 2015 first-round pick underwent successful surgery for his right knee and be out 5 to 6 months.
How big of a loss is that, real quick, for the Wings, Trevor?
He's a guy who's going to play in your top nine, so he's a middle of the road forward. He's a good young guy who has the ability to score. Obviously, he's a first round pick,
right?
So it's going to hurt. This is not going to be a good year for the Red Wings. It started off poorly, and it's going to be 82 games of pretty much similar. Obviously, we'll talk about this a little later in the show, but it's not going to... He's not the reason why they're going to do poorly.
Mm-hmm.
He could have maybe helped them a little bit, but he's not a guy who was going to make them a playoff team, and he's not going to be the reason why they're going to lose a lot of games.
I'll ask you this. I asked Jack this yesterday. Who gets a dub first, the Red Wings or the Pistons? Because the Pistons play the Nets tonight.
Pistons get a win tonight.
The Pistons get the dub tonight.
The Red Wings don't have next game's tomorrow against the Lightning, and the Lightning have just torched the Red Wings lately. It's going to be the Pistons for sure. Even if the Pistons don't win tonight, the Pistons win for the Red Wings.
Okay. All right. MLB playoffs news. Can you give us some updates when it comes to yesterday's Red Sox-Astros game, as well as the Brewers and the Dodgers, Trevor?
Yeah, the Boston Red Sox defeated the Houston Astros 8-2 last night in Game 3 of the 2018 American League Championship Series. The Red Sox now lead the best-of-seven series 2-1, with two games remaining in Houston before the series shifts back to Boston. And on the National League side, the Milwaukee Brewers host the Los Angeles Dodgers, and they played deep into the night last night. Not until the 13th inning was Game 4 of the NLCS decided. It was a taut, low-scoring affair that eventually descended into drudgery until Cody Bellinger's walk-off single plated Manny Machado and gave the Dodgers a 2-1 win. The series is now tied at two games apiece heading into Game 5.
That's a fun series. Fun series. And last but not least, Adam Dalla Bill, y'all, for Canelo Alvarez, right?
Yes, sir. In a record-shattering deal finalized early Wednesday morning, Canelo Alvarez signed a 5-year, 11-fight deal worth a minimum of $365 million with DAZN, which only launched in the United States in September. Mm. Alvarez's deal is the richest athlete contract in sports history, eclipsing the 13-year, $325 million agreement that New York Yankees slugger Giancarlo Stanton signed in 2014 when he was with the Miami Marlins.
And I didn't even know what in the world DAZN was until this morning. It's apparently like a subscription video streaming service owned by Perform Group. But, I mean, goodness, $365 million? No wonder Floyd Mayweather wants to get back in the game. I mean, he wants to, you know, try and make some more money. I've heard rumors that Mayweather actually wants to fight Khabib.
Yes, sir. Heard that too.
And Khabib made a video and said, look, I want to make this happen. And I think people will pay for that. So we'll see. We'll see.
I think it's interesting that you're seeing boxers now signing these long-term contracts. Terrence Crawford,
who won this past weekend.
Yeah, one of the better pound-for-pound fighters did that with Top Rank Boxing, which is done through ESPN.
Right.
Because especially, I think Showtime or HBO, one of the two said that they were done with boxing at the end of the calendar year. So now it opens the door for a lot of these places to try and sign their athletes to exclusive fight deals with them.
And I do believe there are some fighters that can move the needle a bit and people will watch. You know, I watched the Crawford and Jose fight over the weekend, actually, and I didn't think he was going to, you know, get a TKO in the 12th. I thought I stopped watching it like the 10th. And I'm like, oh. multiple ways in which you can weigh in. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News and watch the live stream and tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. And that is how we start this Monday. Well, no, I'm sorry, Wednesday. My goodness, what is wrong with me today? I need some more coffee. I need to wake up. It's Wednesday, October 17, 2018. Also, Jack just let me know, apologies to our listeners. We just had an emergency test that went through the airwaves. That's done for your safety, so we got to do it. All right, but you're tuned in now. And, you know, we want to start that way with the soundbite of Jalen Watch Jackson in that incredible moment at the Big House 3 years ago. Michigan State down when it looked like, you know, they had no shot to win that game. It was a muffed punt that somehow, some way, ends up in the hands of Jalen Watch Jackson. Jalen Watch Jackson stays in bounds, gets some blockers down the field, crosses the goal line. Game over. U of M hearts everywhere were broken. I mean, just imagine thinking you won the game, right? You're going to punt this away. Michigan State, no way they're going to score here. Clock will run out, and we celebrate. But a muffed punt and watching Jalen Watch Jackson cross that goal line, again, 3 years ago to the day. Quite remarkable. And real quick, story time here. And I've told this story multiple times on our airwaves. I was at that game, of course, covering it. As a reporter here at WKAR, I was there alongside my former engineer, Isaac Constance, and we were on the field in the end zone where Jalen scored. And, you know, we shoot each and every game, and I put together a video 2-minute drill report after each and every Michigan State home game. And or again, if it's against U of M, I mean, that's a quick drive to Ann Arbor. So we're sitting there and, you know, I'm on the sidelines staring at my cell phone. And I'm next to Fred Heumann from Channel 6 and Kevin Gale, who was there at Channel 6 at the time. And I'm staring at my phone trying to memorize my stand up that alluded to a Michigan State loss. You know, finally, Jim Harbaugh, it was something corny like finally, Jim Harbaugh has nipped the Spartans, getting his first win over the green and white, something like that. And I'm trying to memorize this because I record that stand up immediately after the game is done. And all of a sudden I look up and, you know, the punt is not a punt. And, you know, Michigan State somehow, some way, the ball ends up in the hands of Jalen Watch Jackson. I remember, and you can see it too, because we have the, you know, and I'm going to post the raw footage of this on our website at WKAR.org, as well as our Facebook page at Facebook.com/WKAR News, because to this day, it is still the most watched YouTube video that we have on the WKAR YouTube channel. It's something like 30,000 views. And, we, you know, it's raw footage of what we shot. But if you watch the footage, you can kind of see the footage, like, you know, kind of like hesitate a little bit and move to the right and then the left. You know, it's kind of shaky when you first see it, because I grabbed the shoulder of Isaac, who was shooting the footage. I forgot I was a reporter for like 2 seconds, and I said, "Oh," and I grabbed his shoulder and he's shooting it. And I realized, okay, hold on now. You're grabbing Isaac and he's shooting this historical footage. So I got off of him. All right. I got off his back and he shoots it. And then I remember hearing Fred say, "What?" And I grabbed the camera from Isaac and said, "I got to get this." And we ran, and you can see also in the ESPN footage, you'll see me running. I had on a leather jacket with like this like Eskimo hat. And I run over, and I'm there in the huddle shooting this, knowing that this is huge, right? Michigan State just won, and you know, we thought it was all over. I mean, on a play like that. And you can see the raw footage of it. I'm right there in the huddle, and then all of a sudden I hear, in the midst of this celebration, you know, right in the middle of the huddle, crowded around Jalen Watch Jackson, I hear a voice saying, "Get the bleep off me." And he's screaming it. And this voice is in obvious pain. And we all know whose voice that was. That was the hero, Jalen Watch Jackson, screaming at his teammates who wanted to celebrate, didn't know that he had just broken his hip, for goodness sake. And they're saying, "Come on, Jalen, that's how you do it. Get up." And he's like, "No, I'm hurt. Get off me, man." And they get off of him, and, you know, I had to go through and kind of bleep out some of the expletives, because there were a lot of them in that moment. but Jalen is yelling, "Get off of him." Teammates are coming over, congratulating him. And, you know, then of course, he's like carted off the field in really, really bad pain. But then, you know, you see Michigan State, the players, they run over to the fan section. And they're going crazy, and players are running around the field. I mean, it was chaos. But in the midst of all of that, I took a moment. I just wanted to, you know, just to kind of take it in. So I gave the camera to Isaac, actually. I just wanted to just kind of look around the big house. And it was absolutely, eerily silent. I will never forget how that feeling and how how that feeling was, because it was like eerie. I mean, this is the big house. I mean, it gets loud in the big house. It got loud during that game. And I just sat there, and a pretty packed stadium still. Just quiet. Stunned fans. I even saw some fans in tears, and it was crazy. It was insane. I will never forget that moment. So that's where I was during that moment. I tell you, the job has perks, doesn't it? You know, get to witness a game like that in person. And I want to know where you guys were, because, again, it is the three-year anniversary. Fitting that it comes, you know, here on Rivalry Week, the Wednesday of Rivalry Week between Michigan State and Michigan, who will go at it at Spartan Stadium this Saturday at noon. I want to know where you were when you witnessed that moment. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Trevor and Adam, they are still in studio with me. I want to know where you guys were. We'll start with Trevor, and I'll get to Adam, because Adam was actually there as well in another capacity. Trevor, where were you when you saw Jalen Watch Jackson take that one to the house and stun every U of M soul in Ann Arbor?
I didn't see it live.
What?
My family, it was a Saturday night, my family had tickets to a Grand Rapids Griffins game. It was just getting ready to start. I'm sitting there waiting for the game to start, and they come over the loudspeaker in Van Andel Arena, and they say that Michigan's leading with 11 seconds to go, and my heart sinks or whatever. And probably 5 minutes later, they come back around the thing and say that Michigan State, in a stunning turn, has won the game on a botched punt. And so then I go, oh, well, I need to see what happens. So then I go on social media and all that, and I've seen the video numerous times. It makes me, you know, get chills every time. Right. But I didn't get to see it live.
Oh, man, I feel bad for you that you didn't get to see that live, because live it was just a moment. But still, you got to see it. And that what was the crowd reaction when that was announced?
It was, well, obviously you get half the crowd. So in Grand Rapids, it's probably split 50-50 with Michigan, right? Michigan State fans. So the first announcement, you know, the Michigan fans all cheer and whatever. And and then all of a sudden you get the other half 5 minutes later. And it was just like really strange feeling. Just like it seemed surreal.
Yeah.
Because they go, there's 10 seconds left and Michigan's up. I was like, well, that's over. You know, it's disappointing. And then all of a sudden they come back on and say that somehow Michigan State won. And I was like, wait, really?
Crazy.
Yeah.
Insane.
So it was just kind of unfortunate that I didn't get to see it live.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, Adam, you did because you were at the game. Tell us where you were.
Yes, sir. Well, I'm a member of the Spartan Marching Band, and that was my freshman year. And so I was in the opposite end zone as you were. Mm-hmm. But I just – our director, John T. Madden, who just retired a couple years ago, he told us to just pack up. We had our rain jackets. We were all cold, and we were just, you know, ready to pack up and get out
of
there.
Was it raining that night?
It was not raining.
It was really cold. I remember that.
It was really, really cold. So we were just like –
That's why I had my Eskimo hat.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. So we were just, you know, ready to get out of there. We normally do a post-game performance. Mm-hmm. But the last time they won, Michigan won at the Big House, which I think was like 2011, 2012. Their fans stormed the field, so the band didn't do a post-game.
Oh, I was at that one, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the
12-9.
The Denard Robinson year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. The field goal. Yeah.
Yeah, so we were just ready to get out, and then, you know, that play happens, and the ball's live on the field, and we just, you know, I'm shorter than most people, so I couldn't see, so I'm trying to look up at the screen, and then people just start jumping up and down, and then we just start running around, And the guy sitting next to me almost charged the field. We had to hold him back because he was just about to sprint out of the field.
Was he a band member?
Yeah.
Let me put my tuba down. I'm going out there
exactly.
right now.
Exactly. No, he full-on almost sprinted. But you can. Yeah. I just, every time I watch the video, I can just think of, in the background, you can hear the cymbals of the band, like in the percussion, they just like banging around. And then we start playing the fight song. And I had no breath because I was just running around screaming. And
it was insane, man.
It was insane. And then just, I think the thing I remember most, because everything just happened within, you know, snap
it was so
of fingers.
Quick, right?
I don't remember much of that, but I remember the post game. There were, most of the fans were still there. Like you said, it was completely silent and everybody was just kind of sitting there. And so
it was eerie because you don't hear the Big House quiet.
Yeah.
Those two, Big House and quiet, they don't go in the same sentence.
Exactly.
But my goodness, it was really, really silent after that moment.
Exactly. And we had to wait. So we had to wait till they carted off, watch Jackson off the field for our post game. So you can just see us in the background of Coach D'Antonio's ESPN press conference just saying, oh, my God, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
I said a few expletives that I probably shouldn't have that you can see on TV. But it was... And then we just played our post-game conference and, or post-game performance in front of like 80,000 people, and we never do that. And it was just so cool. And
amazing.
And then we marched out, and, you know, none of us had our phones, so we just ran to our phones. Who is this person? And I remember seeing the name Watts Jackson when I walked in, but I just didn't know who he was, and now he's forever immortalized.
I think they may one day build a statue of that moment and have Jalen in statue form right outside of Spartan Stadium. But, you know, he's a guy who he could go to any local restaurant, local bar, just say, hey, I'm Jalen Watts Jackson. And this dude would not have to pay for anything in East Lansing for the rest of his life. Quite amazing. Jack and Alec are behind the glass. I'm sure they have some memories from that day. Jack, where were you when Jalen shocked the world?
So I was a senior in high school at this point.
You just made me, a lot of people, including myself, feel really old. Go ahead.
I was at my, at the time, girlfriend's house. We were watching the game. She wasn't a big fan, big football fan. But so I was down in her basement watching the game, and there were 10 seconds left, and I was just kind of looking at the screen, looking like this, just depressed, thinking, you know, Jim Harbaugh's come to town, and he's beaten the Spartans his very first year at Michigan. Mm-hmm. And she was just kind of on the couch, just on her phone or whatever, because she wasn't really a football fan. And then the punter fumbled the ball. And Jalen scooped it up, and I just yelled, go, as loud as I could. And I think I scared the hell out of her, honestly. And then he ran down and he scored. I was yelling go the whole time. He ran down and scored. I jumped up and celebrated and hit my head on her ceiling. And I was for a second. She was like, oh, my God, are you okay? She runs over. And I, like, almost ran over her because I got up so quick. And I was just running around the basement like, we won! We won! So for the next, like, 20 minutes, she didn't like me very much because I wasn't paying much attention to her because I was just on, like, my phone because that was, like, the wildest ending to a game I've ever seen.
It was unreal. And you got injured just like Jalen after the play.
Exactly right. I mean, we both kind of took one for the team there. But, you know, the same scenario, I'd do it again, and I'm sure he would as well. So,
without a doubt,
myself right here, Jalen just a notch above me, I'd say, but you know, I think we're both heroes. So
yeah, Jalen, you know, he was asked whether or not he would change anything. Of course, he's gonna give this answer, right? He was asked whether or not he would change anything about that play. I mean, and not get injured. He was like, no, you know, I take the injury all day. It had to be awkward though. I mean, because he went to like a hospital in Ann Arbor, and I'm pretty sure doctors there were Michigan fans, and they're saying, oh my gosh,
the hero of the Michigan State game. We got to work on this, brother. That had to be real awkward.
I think there was a funny story about that, actually. I'm going to look it up,
sure.
But I think there was, yeah.
That had to be so awkward, though. And real quick, Alec, before we hit this break, where were you when Jalen Watts Jackson became a name that is synonymous in Spartan lore?
Well, I was blessed enough to be an actual student while this happened. So I was a freshman at East Holmes, and I was in my dorm room watching the game, and I remember 8 seconds left, I just felt defeated, and there was like 8 other people in my room. One of them was a guy from Wayne State who was a U of M fan, and he was like just talking so much trash, and he was just saying, you know, about how U of M won and stuff, and then that botched punt happened, and he didn't speak another word for like 30 minutes after that happened. I remember me and the 6 other people who were repping MSU, we were jumping up and down, going crazy, could not believe what was happening. I remember I had a really bad headache, too, from screaming so much while I was in the hallway. And so what had happened was we were jumping up and down after the play had ended, and we decided to run outside into the dorm hallway, and as soon as that happened, you could see all of the doors open. Every single door in the hallway had opened, and people were just coming out of their dorms, jumping up and down in the hallway. Mm-hmm. And so we were jumping up and down for like a solid 30 seconds. And I remember we all had the idea to run out into the lobby and then out of homes, like outside.
Okay.
And I remember hearing, you could honestly hear people from Shaw screaming. You could just hear just so much screaming going on campus. You could hear distance screaming. You know it was far.
Right.
And from East Holmes, which is the far east side of campus, it was just, the atmosphere was just unbelievable. And I remember rushing Cedar Village after that. And Cedar Village...
Was Cedar Village calm?
No.
From the standpoint of there weren't any couches burnt that night.
There were literal dumpster fires. Yeah,
see, I don't remember that because I was driving. We had to do the post game press conference, and I had to put together my story. And then we're driving from Ann Arbor to East Lansing, so I was wondering. I remember that night I went and got I went to my favorite soul food joint here in the area that Jack got me, actually, when I won our Tiger Woods bet. And I went there that night as we got in town. But that's insane. That's insane, man.
Could not believe it.
All right, I want to hear from you guys. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Where were you 3 years ago to the day when Jalen Watts Jackson stunned the college football world and put Michigan State on top of Michigan? An improbable muff punt that was taken to the house. What a moment. It's hard to believe. 3 years ago. Wow, 3 years ago. Didn't seem that long ago. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll also dive into whether or not U of M fans are finally starting to respect Michigan State. I bring that up. I ask that question because of an interesting piece that I read this week. You don't want to miss that and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I just want to address this real quick because Jack, you looked this up during our first break, and you know you said there was a funny story about Jalen, you know, going to the hospital in Ann Arbor after breaking his hip, and you're telling me, and I don't believe this. This is just way too fairy tale, way too movie script. You're telling me that multiple sources reported that Jalen, while in, it was father reported that while in the ambulance on the ride to the hospital hits a bump, and the bump is what pops his hip back in place. Jack, you don't believe that, do you?
I mean,
Pops is just kind of adding to the, he hit a bump, and guess what happened?
Joe Rexroad's a credible guy, though.
Yeah, Joe is just reporting what his father told him. He's just putting it out there. That's what Jalen's father said.
But
I'm not buying Jalen's father there.
When you
come on, man. Hit a bump?
Why would he lie about that?
Because to add to the lore, to add to the story that is the legend that is Jalen Watts.
I think if anything, that would almost downplay it a little bit because he's in the ambulance, his hip gets bumped back into place, and then all of a sudden it doesn't hurt so much.
I'm not buying that.
So
don't buy that. Don't drink that Kool-Aid, brother. Put that down. All right, line one, we've got Austin from Kalamazoo that wants to weigh in. Austin, you don't believe that story, do you? Is Austin there? Oh, Austin, what's up, man?
Hello, are you here?
We got it.
All right, so for the sake of the week, I definitely believe that story.
Stop it. For the sake of the week. Okay, you said for the sake of the week.
My man.
For the sake of the week, though.
You got to sell it as much as you possibly can to get the team hype for the week, so...
I hear you. In real life, though, I'm not buying it, Austin. Come on now. That's way too movie script fairy tale.
The game is October 20th, right?
Yeah.
So October 21st, I don't believe that story, just to let you guys know.
Thank you. Thank you, Austin. But where were you when that moment happened?
So I was actually at the game, Al.
Yeah, I remember that. Yep.
Yeah, I think I saw you on the field. So I was this is when I was living in South Bend, Indiana, and that entire week I was like, man, do I feel like going to this game? You know, we don't look that hot this year. What's going to happen? We'll see. So lo and behold, a couple of my friends drove down from Chicago to the game, so I was like, whatever, let me get my ticket. So I paid probably like $150. I would never pay that much for a ticket, but I sucked it up and went on ahead and got it.
You were balling back then, Austin.
I just started my relationship, so I wasn't spending too much money yet.
That's a good answer. Good answer.
Yeah, right, exactly. So I'm at the game, right? And, you know, Michigan just called a timeout. They're getting ready to punt. So I turn around to start going up. I was probably about four rows up from, I want to say, the north end zone, if I recall correctly. Mm-hmm. So I turn around, start going up. I'm like, man, I don't feel like dealing with these fans. They're belligerent. They're rude. They're going to start questioning my education. I'm getting out of here. And I'm watching the Jumbotron as I go up. And I'm the whole time I'm walking up the steps, I'm like, no way. No way. And the crowd just gets dead silent. Dude, I turn around. I probably ran like a 3:1:40 running back down to my seat to go cheer with all the Michigan State fans. And I'm just like pointing my finger. You remember how, was it Alonzo Mourning that dunked on somebody and start pointing their finger in their face? I forgot who it was.
Yeah.
But I start pointing my finger in everybody's face. And I'm pretty sure somebody wanted to punch me about 30 times in that moment. So I was at the stadium. I gave up on Sparty, but the game isn't over till the clock strikes zero. So I learned my lesson to stay around.
Definitely. And I'm wondering, you know, when you were celebrating in that moment, Austin, I mean, how long did you stay in the stadium before you decided to leave?
I stayed all the way through until the band was finished playing the alma mater and then the last portion of the fight song. I stayed for the entire time. And then so it was like probably for like 7 years in a row, my dad used to take my brother and I to Michigan games until my brother went to Michigan State. So that was my first time being back in the stadium probably since I was in like the sixth or seventh grade. So it was pretty cool being back and, you know, reliving those moments. But this time I was cheering for the right school. So
that's awesome. That's a great story. Well, you know, again, that's a moment that will live on forever. You know, when we're well gone from this earth, I mean, people will still talk about that moment, yeah. Austin. So that was pretty cool that you were in the house to witness it.
Yeah. And then my last question, Al, I know it's a busy week for you, but if you need somebody to come get some video footage for you Saturday, call me and I'll meet you there. I've been trying to do this for like 7 years for like now.
Yeah.
So if you need me, call me.
I got you. And what do I tell you every time? I got you, man. You know, if right. One of my interns say, hey, Al, I'm feeling a little sick, I'll hit your line, Austin. I got you, bro. Unfortunately, that hasn't happened every time you've asked.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
All right. Thank you. Austin from KZU. Also, I see Ray from Indiana's calling. I knew that was coming. But, you know, because I want to hit the second break before we get to Ray, and I want to bring up this. I don't know if you guys have seen this. Jack, have you seen this epic Reddit thread that has gone, like, viral? I saw this reported by Chris Thomas of the Detroit Free Press. He wrote an article entitled, Michigan Football Fans Trying to Kill Michigan State with Respect. And I'm like, that's interesting. So I clicked on it, And I'm reading this article, and he draws a link. This is how it starts. Quote, if you can't beat him, then kill him with respect. That seems to be the strategy among some Michigan fans on the news sharing website Reddit, where a Wolverine Spartans thread is trending toward epic. So I didn't even get that far into the article then because, you know, it's got a link to this thread, and I clicked it, and it's by a Michigan fan who put this up on Reddit. And I just want to read what this Michigan fan says. The thread is called First Annual Michigan State Respect Thread. Respect spelled R-E-S-P-E-K. I don't know why he spelled it that way, but yeah. This is what the three graphs read. Quote, having just gotten back home from my annual pilgrimage to the Big House, I am obviously thrilled with the win and performance of the Wolverines. I'm assuming he made this right after the Michigan and Wisconsin game. He goes on to say, quote, however, I find myself increasingly nervous about our game on Saturday. Michigan State has this awful tendency to play mediocre football right up to the Michigan game. Then the Spartans say, psych, beat us and finish the year going to a decent to good bowl game. And as most college football users know, MSU's power is derived from their disrespect. As such, I would like to start an annual tradition here on this subreddit during the week of the MSU-Michigan game for Michigan fans to pay respect to Michigan State as a way of counterbalancing their disrespect voodoo. As tough as it may be to type nice things about MSU, one compliment during the week may be what it takes to offset the disrespect magic. I will start by stating that I love the MSU Dairy Store, and I think everyone should go there at least once. How cool is that? This is really, really cool, folks. And if you know, Chris does a great job because the thread, get this, the thread has right now over 2,000 comments and counting. It has blown up. I've actually seen a few of my fraternity brothers and people I went to school with commenting on it, and they posted their very own comments. But, you know, it's a way of, again, counteracting the voodoo. You know, Michigan State thriving off of that chip on the shoulder, thriving off of being the underdog. So this Reddit user says, you know what? Well, let's counterbalance that and let's pay some compliments to the team out in East Lansing. A few cool comments that Chris Thompson picks out. Quote, did you know that on the banks of the Red Cedar, there's a very respectable school that's known to all? That respectable school is MSU. Also, the Broad Art Museum looks like it could do a respectable job flying humanity to Mars. Respect. Here's another comment. Quote, I'm amazed nobody has said this yet, but the MSU fight song is clearly superior to the victors. When I hear it, it makes me want to run onto the field and target my own team, but without me wearing a helmet. Yes, that's right. The MSU fight song is so powerful, it makes me want to knock myself unconscious. Here's another one. MSU has a fantastic package engineering degree, and being so good at designing boxes has helped them immensely in storing all of the accolades they've earned under the illustrious tenure of Mark D'Antonio. In addition, Tom Izzo should be every basketball fan's favorite coach. Here's one that's to the point. Brian Lewerke is greater than Tom Brady. I mean, I could go on and on and on. Quote, although Michigan may win the game, Michigan State will surely win the couch-burning competition. And then you have these, quote, it's the nicest community college campus I've ever seen. Quote,
very respectful.
Very, very respectful. You like that one, Jack? Quote, if I hadn't been accepted at Michigan, I would have gone to MSU and claimed that I chose MSU because it's actually a better college than Michigan. Am I doing this right? that's what he says in the comment. Am I doing this right? And then one guy just said he can't do it and said, a Michigan State respect thread? Bleep Michigan State. And then this final comment here coming from the piece of Chris Thompson, quote, Michigan State is a fine school with many lovely, respectable alumni. D'Antonio also has my favorite resting bleep face. I only dream to one day achieve a fraction of his greatness. This is very clever a very clever thread. Again, check it out. I'm going to post this probably on our Twitter page later on today. So you see what I'm saying? Michigan State, Jack, respecting Michigan State. It's done in a not so genuine way here. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely, and I think it's pretty funny, but
It's hilarious.
I mean, you're talking about offsetting the voodoo that's worked in MSU's way. I wouldn't look at it as voodoo. I'd look at it as constant bulletin board material when, you know, the morning of last year's Michigan-Michigan State game, Desmond Howard goes on the air and says that Michigan State is not the rival that Notre Dame is to Michigan, which to me is patently false. If you were to ask 100 Michigan fans which team they'd rather beat, they only get to beat one a year, Notre Dame or Michigan State. The vast majority of them are picking Michigan State.
Oh,
so
definitely.
I've never bought that for a minute, that Notre Dame's a bigger rival to them than us.
No, it's just a way for them to get under Michigan State.
Right, exactly. We're not that important. We're not that important, Al. We're just, you know, we're like the third best rival, maybe even the fourth best rival, because you have to throw Rutgers up there, because them and Rutgers, they were in a serious battle for sole possession of third place in the Big Ten East last season following the conclusion of this game.
Yeah.
No, but in general, you know what? I thought it was really funny.
This is
I saw
hilarious.
It on Twitter. It's very funny. It's
this
really
is
funny.
Hilarious.
It's good.
I read it, you know, this week, and I'm like, oh, man, I got to bring this up on the show. So that's really cool stuff. All right, let's hear our final break. When we come back, we will hear from Ray from Indiana. And again, if you want to call in and give your thoughts on the Michigan and Michigan State rivalry, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Because, you know, this show has been, you know, filled with memories of the 3-year anniversary of the Jalen Watch Jackson fumble with the snap, trouble with the snap to the house. You know, we've been having and sharing where we were during that moment. I wanted to get to the Otis Wiley and Alan Gant smackdown from last year. I'm going to play that tomorrow, all right? So tune into tomorrow's Current Sports for that. And right now, I want to go to our phone lines. I expect to hear from this man, you know, throughout the rest of the week. And again, so far, I believe he's, what, 3 for 3 now, right, Jack? We heard from him Monday, Tuesday, and now Wednesday, right, Jack?
3 for 3.
3 for 3. We'll hear from him. Hopefully make it 5 for 5 throughout this week. But Ray from Indiana, the notorious U of M hater. What's up, Ray?
Go Sparties! Beat the Bullies!
Yep, that's how we start every call this week, right, Ray? Ray,
hey,
how you feeling about this game?
I got some news for you.
Okay.
My name's Michael Hart, and I'm your big brother. I'm going to come down. I might give you the lead, but I'm going to come back and take it like a little brother should do. What are you going to do about it, Skipper?
What is MSU going to do about it, you mean, Ray?
What are they going to do about it, Skipper?
We'll find out on Saturday. We'll find out on Saturday, Ray. But, yeah, I mean, Michael Hart, those comments, I meant to play those comments today, Jack. You know, those comments still get under the skin of Michigan State fans. But, Ray, what are your thoughts on this game? What are your thoughts on this game, man?
He's a pretty tough guy for a little midget like he was, 5'3", wasn't he?
Shots fired, Ray. You're just going today, aren't you?
We got any players coming back, or is Michigan losing any players? I know Gary didn't play last week against Penn State or Wisconsin. He'll probably be back. Is he going to be back this week?
Michigan is unsure right now, Ray. We don't know if Rashawn Gary is going to play. We don't know. And, again, Mark D'Antonio did not release a depth chart during yesterday's press conference like he usually does every Tuesday. So we don't know. Both teams are keeping their cards really close to the vest, as we expected. It's rivalry week. They do this every single year, right?
Hey, I'm going to tell you something. I remember telling you 2 to 4 years ago when they won that on that block punt.
Yeah.
We need to get our running back out there, play against their over-aggressiveness. Use the running back out of the backfield to get a long pass down the field. Try reverses, fake them, and reverse them sometimes. You've got their over-aggressive defense. You've got to use it against them.
All right. Ray, I'll relay the message to Coach D.
Ray, like we did a couple years ago. Remember that?
Yeah, I do. I do. You got to be unpredictable. I hear you.
Use their over-aggressiveness against them.
Okay. All right, Ray.
Go Sparties! Beat the Bullies!
The one, the only, Ray from Indiana. Oh, boy. Ray's great. All right. With just 3 minutes left here, I want to pass the mic now to Alec Rio, because I planned to address what is going wrong with the Detroit Red Wings to close out this show. I'm sorry I'm only giving you 3 minutes here, Alec, but
no worries.
You wanted to chime in on the struggles of the Winged Wheel.
Yeah, so if you're standing, you're going to want to sit down for this. So the Red Wings are last in the NHL. They have the largest goal differential with a minus 16. The average of goals against is about 4.8 per game. It's all because of their lack of defense and their lack of goalies. Jimmy Howard and Jonathan Bernier both have a save percentage under 900. Only two out of the 19 skaters that have played at least three games this season have a positive plus-minus, that's not going to get the job done. And the offense isn't doing anything either. They average slightly over two goals a game. And in all reality, this isn't a young team problem. I've seen a lot of people on Twitter saying, oh, it's just the fact that we have a lot of young players in here. But the average is slightly above the NHL's average. Mm-hmm. So right now, what we're just looking at is just 82 games of just painful mediocrity.
So basically, the Wings are horrible right now. That's what all that boils down to.
Yeah, essentially.
All right. And like Trevor said, I asked the question, who gets a win first this regular season, the Pistons or the Red Wings? I'll be camped in front of my TV tonight to watch the Pistons take on the Brooklyn Nets. And, yeah, they do get that win. They get a win before the Detroit Red Wings. So, all right, 30 seconds left. I want to thank everybody who tuned in to this hump day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. We continue the rivalry talk on the Thursday edition of Current Sports. We'll play that Otis Wiley and Alan Gant smack off for you on tomorrow's show. And I may have a special guest for you guys. All right. So you have to find out who that is by just waiting 23 more hours. Until then, we'll see you then, folks. Be easy, people.